making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us. He's brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MoheganSun.com. Hi, Dan. What's up? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
What's up, Dan?
So,
were you at the game this weekend?
I was at the baseball game.
Oh, that's right. You were at the baseball game, but I saw your tweet.
I was quite proud of that. I said that the Miami Dolphins, the first team in NFL history to be mathematically eliminated while they are in first place. And they did do that. We all know that.
All right. Well,
Can we go back and roll some tape on what I said to you last week? Speaking of which, I don't mean to be taking a victory lap.
What did you say that was so?
Oh, Dan. So you're not the least bit worried about this game? No. Miami? No. They're 3-0. No, not the least bit worried. Why? Because the same thing happens. It always happens. They came in. They rolled over. Disgraceful performance.
Quarterback stinks.
And it'll always be the same. And they're 3-1. And the Bills and the Jets. I mean, you got to admit. This might be the all-time worst for the AFC East.
No. You got two good young quarterbacks.
I understand.
We'll get into that.
There's a future they could build. I mean, I get that.
We'll get into that. But you ready for baseball? You ready for playoff baseball?
Totally ready.
Your boy David Price?
I'm totally ready.
Is he ready?
I've been ready since. We've been talking about this since February, and finally it's upon us.
So they're ready.
Not really. We've got to wait until Friday.
They're ready,
I know.
But I'm ready.
We have to wait until Friday.
Games that matter
sucks.
Instead of we beat the Orioles again. You know, that Orioles series last week, I was. The 19-3 game or whatever, when position players pitching and everything, I was stopped at a light in West Newton, and the Red Sox hit two homers before the light changed. You know, that actually happened, I'm thinking. That's the state of what this competition. And the four worst teams in baseball were in the American League. So, again, not the Sox fault. We have no idea how good they are. They went 17-21 against the field, 18-21.
As you wrote, you think they have us teed up for a cataclysmic, apocalyptic fold of the highest magnitude. Wow.
I didn't say it that way, Beal. You're taking it out of context.
No. You said.
Sounds like he read it. Let me read it.
There's a word before that.
You go through this giant. You went through this giant list of why they're so great.
All the good things.
Right? All the good things.
And then it says, I think, perhaps or something.
No. You said, why do I think they have us teed up for a cataclysmic, apocalyptic fold of the highest magnitude? Which indicates, if you're asking that question, that you think that. Is that wrong?
Well, no, that's fair.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll just read it to you. The whole paragraph.
Thank you. Good
stuff. So why do I worry that they are going down in the first round of the playoffs? Why do I think they have us teed up for a cataclysmic, apocalyptic fold of the highest magnitude? Why do I sometimes wonder if perhaps they are the most flawed
107-8
win team in the history of baseball? Think about the absurdity of that statement.
See, it was absurd. It was absurd thought. The whole thing started with
But these are thoughts that you have.
But these are real.
But I said I need an intervention. I said, here's all these good things about the team, and this is amazing. They have all these weapons, and Mookie Betts, MVP, and Cy Young guys left and right, and the Hall of Fame closer, and the great manager. And I mean, I admitted all that, but I still, deep down, I'm in a show me attitude with these guys.
And then you asked for the feedback. So what about you? You know, Red Sox fans, you're sort of soliciting that feedback.
Right.
Have you received any?
A lot of people are with me on the ledge on this thing.
Really? You know?
And the next day was interesting because that was after they got smoked on Saturday. It was 8-5 in the end. And you know, Cora wasn't trying to win the games. He was letting JBJ hit against Chapman in the ninth and all that stuff. But so the next morning there was a little bit of a groundswell. They had lost 3 in a row now, and it was 7 out of 10 or whatever it was. And I said to Cora, my joking, stupid question before the last game of the season, is this a must-win game? And he actually, he pushed back on that a little bit. He said, well, no, but I'm sure you think it is. You know, I'm like, ooh, no. It's like, it had a little hair on it, you know. But it was good for him. And then they went out, and they beat him 10-2. I just didn't think Beetle would be a good idea to lose the last four. Their only four-game losing streak of the season to end the year, and three of them against the Yanks. So it wasn't a must-win game. I think it gave everybody a better feel to beat those guys the last day. But do I have fears? Whatever you want to call it, Beadle. I mean, we know the strengths, we know the weaknesses, but we don't know what they can do in the postseason, and we don't know what kind of condition their ace is. I mean,
he threw on flat ground yesterday. If you haven't heard, Dan, he flew on flat ground and got some treatment.
Yeah.
What's next? Sit and wait?
The man who pitched 17 innings since July 27th, the man who in his last outing had the lowest fastball velocity of his career, the man with elbow inflammation, hit two batters in the first inning, a very messy last start, never got to where they hoped he was going to get. But it doesn't mean he can't go out there and give you seven no-hit innings on Friday night.
And he may do that.
That's the guy you need. That's the guy you want. You haven't had that guy since July. Hopefully they've managed this where they're going to get it Friday.
Now, they have the 108 wins, whoop-de-doo.
Yep.
And I think that for those who don't agree with you on being on the ledge, as you are, apocalyptic, cataclysmic, all these things.
Thank you.
Those who are not on the ledge look at the win total and say, well, they have that many wins for a reason.
Right.
That's the reply. And I heard that yesterday from callers on this very station, yeah. And I thought, that's it? That's all you got?
Yep. Because they took care of business against the bad teams better than anybody else, and we can't punish them for that.
Good right,
for
which
them.
The Yankees didn't. The Yankees couldn't do what you did.
But the notion that they're 8 or 9 games better than everybody else, is, I believe that's a mistake.
Sort of the point about this. That doesn't matter now. The 108 wins don't mean anything right now. They're gone. That's it. They vanish.
Yep.
Doesn't mean much. And the part about being 8 or 9 games better, 8 or 9 games better against terrible opponents.
Yes. They beat the
Orioles.
You weren't
8 or 9 games better against the real teams, were you?
They were, as I said, they're 18 and 21 against the
But field. you're a 500, sub-500 team against the good teams.
Against the four teams. The four teams are in the playoffs. They are under 500. Right.
Which is a record that I think actually indicates what you are.
I would look at that more so than the 108.
And the fact that they don't have a starting pitcher who's ever won a postseason start. And the lineup, again, I mean, they've played 7 postseason games, pretty much the same group of guys. And I have begged the Globe to put those numbers out there in the paper before the end of the week because I just, you know, like Bradley's like, he's hitting like .120 with 13 strikeouts and 25 at-bats. You know, Betts has never knocked in a run in the postseason. And again, this could all change. I feel like Betts and J.D. Martinez are going to rake, don't you?
Well, I'm hoping they will. I mean, they've raked for the better part of an entire season. If that all of a sudden goes dry, that's a problem. That's it. You'll lose.
Yeah. Yes, and it's a lot different, you know, hitting now than it is hitting against those when the Orioles are.
And this is sort of the thing, Dan. You don't have an option. You can't afford to have those guys not rake.
Right.
Like that's how you won 108 games. Those guys were raking.
And it really feels.
And you have to continue to win that way because you're not going to win with your bullpen. You're not going to win by getting your starters to go really deep into games because, as we know, there's real concerns there.
That is not a playoff formula, Beal. There's very few teams in history of baseball that have won by raking. It's generally not how it's done.
Right. I mean, it can be done, but it's rare.
It's hard.
And last year we saw that with the Astros hitting a million home runs, right? That's how they were able to do it. And you sort of wondered, did they build that 8-game lead? Did they build a lead? Did they win 108 games when they were beating up on the Twins and the Orioles and all the bad teams out there? Because you can beat up on bad teams with a great lineup. But you can't do that against good teams consistently. I sort of wonder if that's how it was done.
That's why you don't want the Yankees, right? Yankees hit home runs.
I wish I knew more about the A's. The Yankees hit more home runs than any team in the history of baseball.
See, I know, but you, as a columnist, and us as talk show hosts, we're rooting for the Yankees.
Totally. Anyone who's not rooting for the Yankees.
I want Friday night baseball.
Yeah, it's just, this is going to be such a great week. Smiling Johnny Lester going tonight to keep the Cubs season alive.
How weird is that?
Too bad he's not still here. Guy with playoff credentials.
Yeah,
see
can't
how that
throw
goes.
First, though.
Yeah, and they need him tonight because their bullpen is tapped out. Madden used 7 guys yesterday to lose that game.
Typical Madden.
Yeah, this is going to be great. And then Yanks and A's tomorrow in New York. So have they announced who's starting that game? Is it Jay Happ? I mean,
not that I've seen.
Because Happ was a little bit unhappy this weekend that he didn't know unless he was, you know, pretending, because it was Tanaka, Severino, Happ, and which one's it going to be? And they're not going to go with an opener. They're going to have an actual starter. They want Happ to pitch against the Red Sox because he really pitches well against them, but not to the point where they can sacrifice, you know, having Happ pitch in Fort Myers when the season's over. So I think Happ's the safest route for them. Severino has propensity to blow up. Tanaka, same thing. It'll be one of those three. Unless they want to mix it up and start Sabathia, that'd be great.
Oh, would be, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be great?
Just for old times.
How about what he did, though? Passing up on $500,000 bonus.
It was one of the great team moments of
Isn't
all
it?
Time.
Isn't
yeah, it was like a hockey guy. You know, it was
sticking
like
up first player.
An amazing thing. And we thought, We thought maybe they would get him in two innings on Sunday just to kick that in, but hopefully they'll just give him the money. I mean,
yeah, give him the money. There was also the suggestion that the Yankees give the money to his foundation.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a foundation.
That's way to go. It's not like he needs the money. But
right. Meet you in the middle. Yeah. Hey, we're going to give you the money, but we're not going to, you know, cut a check to you. How about we give it to your foundation?
Yeah, it's a win-win.
Right? You can have a win-win there. 617-779-0985. We're talking some baseball here with Dan Shaughnessy. Let's talk about all these one-game playoffs that have been played. Excuse me. Game 163.
Those were weird.
That were played twice yesterday.
I mean, it wasn't that great.
And
because
now the one-game playoff.
Both teams were getting in, so the tension wasn't there yesterday. Because you lose, you're still
save
playing.
That thought. We'll get to that coming up next.
I will.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
Ah.
I am sorry. Sometimes it hurts.
This is our best dance?
So
this is Stephen Stills' tour de force, I would say. 7 minutes and 21 seconds. Pretty darn good.
You like Game 163s, Dan? Sorry, they're not one-game playoffs. These are Game 163.
Well, let's face it. I mean, it didn't have the juice of Game 163 in 1978 when one team was going home and the other team was moving forward. So those were weird. The fact that it was not an elimination game made them just goofy. And they were interesting, but the pressure's not the same. The pressure is tonight and tomorrow, which is the loser goes home. Especially the New York Yankees. They win 100 games and they go home. Third best record in baseball, and you're not in the final eight in the tournament. So that's what's at stake for them.
Isn't there an easy fix for this? If you're in a situation where no one would go home, you use a tiebreaker. If you're in a situation where someone would go home, then you play the game.
You could say that. I think they felt it.
Can't you do that? You can't be eliminated on a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
But you can be demoted in the standings to a different spot in the playoff picture.
Which puts more pressure
tiebreaker.
On you.
Nope.
Is that easy to decide? Like, everyone's just, they should do tiebreakers. No, they should do one-game playoffs. All right, let's split the difference. If there is an elimination on the line, you play the game.
Huh.
If there isn't, well, then you go to a tiebreaker. You go to the head-to-head.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good bet.
Did I just solve all of baseball's problems?
Is that how they used to do it with the division and the wild card before the implementation of the second wild card?
Yeah, it's...
The baseball hardcore podcast there, pal.
Well, the Red Sox and Yankees tied 1 year. There was no game. The Red Sox ended up in second place because of head-to-head competition that year. They were the wild card.
Yeah, but it didn't matter as much then because you're trying to avoid... The whole point of the second wild card in winning your division is to avoid the wild card game.
Win more games against the opponent.
I don't like it now. To me, they should have the top five records and then the fourth and fifth play the game. Now, this division winning, like the Atlanta Braves yesterday got to sit on their butts. They won fewer games than all four teams that had to play yesterday.
So what you're saying is
this
scrap,
whole notion you won your division.
You're saying scrap the divisions.
Well,
that's what you're saying. Scrap the divisions.
I don't mind the divisions during the year and you play that your own division more and it's regional and it saves on travel. But in terms of playoff seeding, one through
eight.
Well,
no, you can't. It's all or none. That one you can't split, Dan. Wow. Either want divisions or you don't. Because if you want to have the rivalries and you want to have divisions and you want to have teams play an unbalanced schedule, then it doesn't matter. Your win total is not relevant. It's relevant whether or not you won your division. How do you not get that?
I get it.
If you play in a division with tough teams and you have fewer wins than a winner in a crap division, then you shouldn't be looking at win totals. You either value the divisions or you don't.
I don't value the divisions.
And okay, then get rid of them.
Last year in hockey, we had the situation with the Bruins, Toronto, and Tampa. And two out of three of them are out of there in the first. It was like, that's just not the way it should go.
Matt McCarthy's always trying to fix baseball. We had a long conversation about this last week, about whether or not they should go back to two divisions in each league, East and West.
You should absolutely do that.
Yeah, like the SEC.
This could be meeting in the middle because you're not going completely without some sort of regionalism to it, but you are sort of expanding out those divisions. There are fewer divisions, and therefore you have less of a chance of there being bad teams that stacked up wins against, I should say, division winners that stacked up a lot of wins against bad teams that get an advantage going into the playoffs.
I.e. the New England Patriots for the last 17 years.
I knew it.
Right.
You just stick to the baseball.
The dynasty
here.
Built on a lie.
Can you just stick to the baseball? Would you do that? East-West?
I would do that.
That avoids you having a situation like the Cleveland Indians this year, who just beat the hell out of an awful division. It puts more importance on the divisions and winning it, which is what baseball wants, to implement the second wild card. You know, you want to win your division. You need to make the regular season more important. The problem is you have too many divisions in baseball, so you end up with situations like the Indians and the Braves getting an unfair advantage heading into October.
The Braves was really bad because the other two teams are really strapped now, and the Braves just sitting there with fewer wins than all four of them. That was bad. The Cleveland thing, not as bad to me because they didn't gain that much, and they still have to play Houston in the first round. And to me, they kind of coasted, and I think they could have won more games, but they knew where they were.
They're better than their record indicates.
They are. They are a very sneaky postseason team, the Tribe.
Would the East-West help your scheduling? Meaning early bad weather baseball.
Well, you know,
and we bitch about it all the time.
You can't do it. I mean, I know domes, West Coast. There's just too many things. It's too many teams and travel and when you play 162 and you've got all those teams, it's not going to work with the warm weather and domes for the first 2 weeks for everybody. It doesn't work. Can't do it.
Does anyone care about these games this week? Does anyone really care about
these
games?
Yes, yeah.
How
could you not care about,
I actually do.
How could you not care about a one-game elimination playoff
with the New York Yankees? I don't think that they've become the big deal that baseball thought.
Well, I think tomorrow night is.
I don't think it's a big deal, but
tonight, I don't know. Cubs.
I want to see the Cubs.
But see, Dan, the Yankees are a big deal.
Right.
Like, that's why it's the Yankees have always been a big deal.
Yeah, this is why I hope they don't F it up and screw this thing up and not come here this weekend.
I think of the things baseball has done right and wrong, the one-game elimination is a good one.
I just don't think that it's the big deal that baseball thought it was going to be. Everyone's going to watch all of a sudden a one-game playoff?
There's nothing in baseball ever again where everyone's going to watch, Beetle. That ship sailed. We know that. We get that. But if you're trying to, create some interest.
Is the one-game playoff creating interest and drawing people to the game that otherwise wouldn't watch?
A few, I would say yes. I would say a few.
Yeah. You know what they should do is move that final day of the regular season to Monday. When four of those games mattered last Sunday, everyone was watching football.
Yeah.
Move the final day of the regular. They don't start the playoffs till Thursday and Friday anyways.
That's a good point.
Move the last day of the regular season till Monday for those one game so that the teams that are fighting for the wild card can actually get some interest.
That's a good point, Jim.
I understand what you're saying, but then, again, the situation that they ended up with.
Because Monday is such a big sports
Monday
day.
Well,
they
got
to care about baseball.
What time did the Red Sox-Yankees play on Sunday?
3:05.
Do you know what I would do? Okay, do you know what I would have done, Dan? I would have ended the season 2 weeks ago.
Say that game.
That's what I would have done. You want to really fix baseball? You got to start looking at the number of games you play and when the season actually draws to an end.
Yeah,
that's
less is more.
That all has to be factored in, and they refuse to do it.
They do
because they want the gate,
the sacred.
Oh, they got to get their gate. How about that kid out of the bullpen in Milwaukee, though?
He's pretty good.
Throws gas.
Looks like the Chris Sale in relief.
The bigoted bullpen out there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's nasty.
I mean, just look at we were talking about this morning before the show. Like, you just look around in the league. You've got, you got the racist out there in Milwaukee. You've got, the wife beater in New York. Isn't there another one?
Osuna in Houston.
Another one in Houston. Yeah.
Got the football coach in UMass.
Well, your knuckleballer here is in the same category.
Same one?
Guys. You go there. Same stuff.
Baseball. Baseball's so desperate to be cool.
Thank God football doesn't have any of those
can't
guys.
Do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jeez. Scott's in Gardner. Go ahead. He has a football point. Go ahead, Scott.
I'm just wondering how good Edelman will be Thursday night.
Yeah, so.
I think he's going to be very good. Now, Belichick was guarded yesterday. I think it's a little smoke and mirrors he's throwing out there, a little smoke. Yeah. Say, well, he hasn't been around. We got to get him up and go. We'll see how it goes this week. He hasn't played. He's fresh as lettuce. They're going to put him in there. Now, that what they do have to watch, the soreness of it, because it's not football legs. He hasn't practiced. They're not practicing this week. Every day this week will be a walkthrough, which doesn't help him.
Is this our guy Scotty from Gillette?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Scott. Buddy. How you doing?
Hey,
good
how
to
you
hear
feeling?
From you.
I didn't know
well?
It was you.
I'm doing well. I'm at home now.
All right, very good.
I just got out of the hospital last night.
Are we going to see you on Thursday?
No, you'll see me on the 14th.
I'll see you for the Chiefs, buddy.
We'll
Chiefs
see you then. Game. Get your rest, Scott.
Okay.
Good love you, Scott. See you, pal.
Take it easy.
All right. We're thinking of you.
Poor Scott.
Scott's our security guard at Gillette.
Yep. Oh, keeps all the riffraff out of
our booth. Is he a musket man?
Keeps us what?
Is he a musket man? Like, does he do that also?
No, why?
Well, you think, what do you think? The,
who are the musket men?
You think the New Englander people or musket people or security people?
I always think like the musket guys.
The guys
are
down there.
Security
the
guys.
Field,
if you want.
What do you think, those Minutemen guys, those Minutemen reenactors, then go
if you're trained in that kind of weaponry, I would hope that you were in security.
I think it says like when Ted Williams played.
No, I always feel safer with the musket.
1918?
Down there, you
know?
Yeah.
The bullets aren't real, Dan.
Some of those guys are pretty exuberant. I wouldn't be too sure.
The bullets aren't real.
Yeah, well, I feel much safer. With
all right. Speaking of the Patriots, we won't be seeing Scotty there, but we will, however, be seeing you if you're caller 10 right now. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on Indianapolis this Thursday night at Gillette Stadium. Caller 10 right now, 617-931-0985. We will also give away a second pair today at 1:30. On Zolak and Bertrand. Caller 10 right now. You are the winner. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. I got a bone to pick with baseball.
I got a bone to pick with football. So there.
Oh. All right. Well, why don't we do both of those coming up next? Okay. Fair?
Yeah.
That's next.
You guys bone each other.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots will be back on the practice field today as they get ready for their Thursday night game against the Colts. We'll see if Rob Gronkowski is out there. He has an ankle problem and is listed on the injury report. The team says he would not have practiced had they held a session yesterday. Monday Night Football from last night, Chiefs moved to 4-0 with a comeback 27-23 win over the Broncos. Le'Veon Bell expected to end his holdout and report to the Steelers sometime during or after their Week 7 bye. Red Sox holding a workout today as they get ready for ALDS Game 1 on Friday. Of course, they're awaiting the winner of the Yankees and the A's tomorrow in the AL wildcard game. National League wildcard game set for tonight. The Rockies will send Kyle Freeland to the mound against the Cubs and John Lester. Lester with a 2.55 ERA and 25 postseason appearances. Brewers and Dodgers winning their tiebreaker games yesterday, moving on to the NLDS. Celtics will take on the Cavs tonight in a preseason game. Kyrie Irving will not play after logging 29 minutes on Saturday. Coverage starting at 8 o'clock here on the Sports Hub. And the Bruins are on the practice ice this morning ahead of tomorrow's opener in Washington. Matt Grizzlick is participating and is not wearing a non-contact jersey. Torrey Krug will miss at least 3 weeks with an ankle problem. He is in a walking boot. Sports Hub Headlines are brought to you by the Hair Doctors, Dr. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lepresti at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Matt McCarthy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan, over the years, I'd say last 5 to 10 years, when people have sort of attacked baseball and saying there needs to be change, pace of play is an issue, younger fans is an issue, baseball has always responded with a defense that has been focused on attendance, right? How many times have we seen that? Bud Selig did it.
Yes.
Rob Manfred has done it. They point to the attendance numbers, and they say, yeah, but we've had X amount of fans go through the turnstiles this year. Look at our attendance. Look at our 70 million people that came to baseball games this year.
So you're going to give me some data that indicates attendance is not swell.
Attendance is going in the wrong direction. This year, 17 of 30 teams saw a dip in attendance. 8 of those teams saw losses of 12% or higher. Major League Baseball on the whole suffered losses of more than 4% in attendance. Fifth drop in 6 years. It's the fifth drop in the last 6 years and the lowest total since 2003. It's the first season since 2003 that total attendance has dropped below 70 million at 69.67. Down over 4%. As I told you, 17 of the 30 with losses. 8 of them more than 12%, and obviously some of those are obvious. The Orioles, the Marlins, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Those are some of the big ones. But attendance is going in the wrong direction. It has been.
Right.
It's now a trend. It's not a one-off type of thing. And that sort of that last defense of baseball is now out the window, and they won't even admit it. Do you know why? You know what they're putting it on?
Why?
Bad weather. Really.
Oh, bad weather, yeah, this week. Bad teams, more like it, and bad pace of play and unwatchable games.
Can you imagine that? That they're going to put it on the bad weather.
Yeah, they tried that in April. I thought they gave that up after April because April was bad, but geez.
Yeah, not that, you know, it's the weather or that it's any of those other factors. It's no, it's
how about
the
this
weather.
Factor?
We had too much rain.
How many games are the Orioles?
Rain.
Back,
five of the last six last years. Week. It's been too much rain.
60.
Yeah, 60 games back. You got a team coming in here to play last week.
And again, this was the first year in Major League history there were more strikeouts than hits. And that was official yesterday.
Home runs were down 9% this year from where they were a year ago.
So you have a lot of walks and a lot of strikeouts, no balls in play. Pace is terrible. I mean, again, this is not any news-breaking stuff, and they're going to have trouble with this. And then we're going to start hearing about the lateness of the games and the postseason and all that stuff. It just goes on.
Do you want to hear the time of a 9-inning game this year?
I would love to hear that.
3 hours on the nose, down 5 minutes from where it was a year ago.
Well, there you go.
That's good.
Better. Didn't feel like it.
Is that's it better? Is that a noticeable difference?
No, because how many times have you seen the Red Sox go extra innings here this year? And also the big games that they play, they usually string them out and ends up being 4 hours.
That's
Red Sox
have
played a ton of big number games.
If they could get 5 minutes better every year, that'd be really good.
Right, but then that means we're 3 years more away of excellent 5% stride, 5 minute strides.
You're asking
from being down to 245.
That's actually more than I would have thought that it went down. And if they kept that pace on, that would be great.
I just don't think they can do this without a pitch clock. They can't do it. They can't. You can't squeeze any more juice out of that lemon here.
I agree.
You can't
with that.
Do it.
Yep.
They got to go to the clock.
Yeah.
Tough bleep. That's coming. Baseball.
They'll do
put
that.
The clock in.
It's not a big ask.
Put the clock in. Play fewer games. All these things need to happen.
Fewer games is a bigger ask.
They're too slow.
The clock is not a hard thing.
Well, honestly, right now, does it matter? Because they're not getting people through the gates. Attendance is down. So all those gate receipts that you need. Are they there? Did you see yesterday in L.A. the empty seats there?
I think we know what that is. I mean, there's no preparation for that game, and it's in traffic in L.A.
Listen to him. You should run for commissioner.
Look at this.
You should run for commissioner.
You're going to sit here, and you're going to bitch about traffic in L.A. Beetle, do you remember the scene at the L.A. Coliseum at 5:20 p.m. Pacific time? It was packed. Packed. Right in the middle of rush hour. 100,000 people.
Beetle, I watched the game.
Here's a picture of the upper decks there, Dan. How does that look?
What does it look like at the end? Is it the same? And again, that's a game that there's no preparation for. You find out on Sunday afternoon that they're playing Monday. No one expects that there's going to be a game. That happened in 1962.
Oh, well, you know what? They're in such a small market in L.A., I understand. They just don't have enough people there who can get the day
hey,
off.
Hey, I'm not going to... If you said that the Patriots are playing tomorrow...
Small market teams have a hard time. There's not that many people living there. Only L.A.
If you announce now that the Patriots are playing tomorrow at noon, you're not going to sell that game out.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, you're
out of your mind.
Okay. Well, let's try it.
What you smoking here,
no,
Panama,
I'll tell
right?
you what, though. You know what else wouldn't happen? If you told me the Red Sox were playing tomorrow at 1 o'clock in a one-game playoff, then you might have an issue getting everybody there.
I agree.
You might, because it's baseball. Don't compare it
baseball
to football.
Baseball is not as popular as football.
Because football, they'd bang it out.
Stop the presses. Baseball is not as popular as football. Thank you very much.
It's not as popular.
I wouldn't have known that if I didn't come in here today.
It's not as popular as a lot of things right now.
I understand that. It's still ahead of boxing, horse racing. You know, they got those beat. But no, it is. It's in trouble. There's no question about it.
Boxing.
We've been saying this for 100 years. What do you want them to do? You want them to play fewer games?
You got like three horse
races. You want to pick up the pace? Great. I would rather see some way to have all strikeouts and walks.
The first step to fixing your problems is admitting you have a problem, and they won't do it. And that's my
question. Who's they? Rob
Manfred?
Rob Manfred. Okay, so Rob Manfred.
He's the commissioner.
Identify the person. Rob Manfred won't admit it. All right, let's call him up.
But I would say that his opinion probably represents much of the league.
There's always a head-in-the-sand component to those guys in every league, every commissioner. They don't really stand out for ignoring the obvious. Everybody does it. And again, their sport's in trouble. Young people don't have the attention spans to watch a 3 hour and 45 minute 1-0 game that has no balls in play. It's dreadful.
Zoe doesn't have that attention.
Well, Zoe,
I don't have that attention span.
You know, no.
And you love baseball more
baseball.
Than anybody I've ever met.
Exactly.
It's so easy to turn a channel in between innings.
I can't
you
do
get
it.
A quick game.
No, it's dreadful. It's a horrible product in that view. It is. You know, I mean, I like the playoffs. I'm into it, but I understand why people. You don't have to convince me why people wouldn't want to line up for this. And on a day that there's no announcement in Los Angeles until the day before that you're having a playoff game tomorrow, It does not surprise me that it's not jam-packed at the start.
What's your football
issue?
It
never would be.
Let's get to that.
What's that?
What's your football issue?
Oh, Mike, again, this is like way off a different track.
That's okay.
Has anyone yet asked Bill Belichick about Rob Gronkowski? Rob Gronkowski?
Who's he?
I mean, it's like...
New player?
Gronkowski? He was injured in the game and never came back, right?
The injury report was questionable.
But what about
Sunday when we got
about the post game press conference and then the conference call the next day and then the next day? Like, what is that?
I don't know.
What is that?
He doesn't have to give you a report until after the first
practice.
I'm
not talking about the reports, though. I'm talking about the reporters, the people there.
Because they know.
You know, when Gordon Haywood, his leg blew up in the first game, it didn't occur to me that we couldn't ask after the game about Gordon Haywood. You know, I mean. And what's he going to say? Well, he's out for the year. What's he going to say? It's kind of an important issue. Your second best player is off the field, never comes back. They're playing again in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in my no one has asked him about it yet.
Because Bill Belichick has pounded the reporters in this town into submission.
You still have to ask.
You get one or two shots to ask a question in that press conference, and that's the one you want to ask.
I mean.
Because you know what the answer is going to be.
You would know better than you would know better than we would.
You're asking these questions because you know what the answer is.
It's unprecedented in the history of team reporting that you just give up and don't ask the question.
I don't have a column to write. I don't have a game story to write. Yeah. I don't have any of that. So you would know better than we would about this. If they do, the writers maybe feel like, hey, we're only going to get 7 or 8 questions. And I'm not going to waste away one that I know will get. I'm serious. Hear me out.
You think the fans are curious if Gronk's going to play Thursday night or if he got hurt?
Of course they
are.
Not till Thursday.
Of course they are.
In normal discourse, when the fans are curious about something, what happens?
They ask a question about what the fans.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying the fact that it has been eliminated from the landscape is just amazing, and it's complete capitulation on the part of the media, and it's a complete victory. Raise the flag for the Patriots. All they have achieved. I mean,
luckily for me, it's not a problem I have. You know, that doesn't impact me. Doesn't impact my job.
The president, the Pentagon, every arm of would love this situation.
You're very upset about
that
this.
No one's ever going to ask about something that they don't want to answer, but you still have to ask. I'm sorry. It's unprecedented.
617-779-0985. Baseball's problems. Bill Belichick not being asked about Rob Gronkowski.
We're done with that.
Few injury reports
are
in the mix.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Dan Shaughnessy with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Let's get some of your calls. Tom is in Worcester. Hi, Tom.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Doing well.
What's up, cop?
Great. How you doing, Zol?
Good, pal.
Hey, I got a question for Dan.
Yes.
Dan, I always enjoy it when you're on the show.
Oh, thanks,
and,
Tom.
I have a question regarding your being a reporter and all. What if all of you got together before the Belichick press conference and just kept hammering him with the same question over again.
That'd be fun.
Solidarity among the reporters.
Those things, the boycott, solidarity, that never works. You know, everybody's on their own down there working for their own entity. There's a lot of people there who are working for the Patriots, and it's just not a situation that does not work.
That'd be fun to try to get a credential for the following week.
I appreciate the spirit of that, but it does not work. No.
All right, well, thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah. That's a no-go?
No, never works.
Yeah. Get everybody on the same page.
Hey, you asked the question, so I give you credit.
No, the one thing, I mean, you know, historically, if one reporter is being, like, I don't know, singled out and not being treated fairly, it would be good if everybody, you know, say we don't allow this guy in the room, and we're not starting until this guy's out of the room. In that case, everybody should say...
I've told you this before, though. They do release the information. They just do it through their unofficial channels.
There is no sports franchise in America. There's no sports franchise in America that gets the freedom to operate this way. They have won.
Yeah, no, they have.
Yes.
Yeah, Schefter got it. Schefter, tweak, questionable for this
yeah.
week.
Right.
Not considered
just
serious.
Follow Schefter, Dan.
No, you just check his Twitter feed. I understand that.
Yeah, just go to Schefter's Twitter.
Right.
It's coming from the voice of...
I follow him.
Yeah. Let's go to Richard and Haverhill on baseball and their lack of attendance. Richard.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Richard.
Great.
I love listening to Scott Zolak on the Patriots and on the radio.
What's up?
And I like listening to you, Mr. Bertrand, but sometimes you go on too long. I want to make it short.
Whoa.
You guys didn't even talk about the extreme expense of going to a baseball game. Parking, time in the car.
Wait a minute. How are they separated from hockey, basketball, and football?
The amount of
I think that they're twice as many games, 10 times the number of games.
Well, yeah, but if you're talking about a season ticket going every game, it's more expensive to go 80 times than 8 times. But the individual day experience, I don't understand why is that a fair? Yeah, it's expensive, but again, how are they separated from the other sports?
Well, I think it's extremely expensive.
No, it is not more expensive than hockey, NHL, or football.
I'll say
it is not.
Usually when you go to an NFL game, and most
that
of my buddies...
a ridiculous phone call and a ridiculous statement.
Hold on. Most of my buddies pull tickets together. So there's 4 or 5 buddies that go, and they tailgate, they do their thing. They each purchase their own ticket, and they have a group of tickets that they buy. You understand that? Like season tickets?
Yeah.
If you go to a baseball game, I think it's a sport that's more inclined that you'd want to take, say, your 3 kids or your family to. So now you're buying 4 or 5 tickets. Now you got concessions. Bottle water's down there $5.
Everywhere.
Probably more.
Okay, but again, Dan's question still stands. How is this?
This is like piling on baseball. You guys are being ridiculous.
There's 81 games here at home as opposed to 8
There's
games.
365.
It doesn't matter.
There's 365 movies every day. If you go to movies every day, it's going to cost more.
Right. A game of entertainment. One game still lasts about the same time in all 3 sports. It's about 3 hours of entertainment and a game. It's more expensive for football.
Yep.
It's more expensive for hockey. A lot of basketball is more expensive.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the upper deck, you might be able to find...
So that's a big misconception. Because people bitch about the money all the time.
And the price money's high.
It's not money. It's not a money thing.
Board.
In fact, you've got one of the more expensive ticket averages in baseball here in Boston. Attendance was up this year. Went up. One of the towns that went up, not down.
Yep.
So... That's not it.
They don't have an attendance problem here.
Not impacted the Red Sox at all. Well, plus it's a tourist attraction now.
Oh,
really? Make
ballpark.
Their trip to Boston in the summer to go to Fenway.
Tours.
Yeah, go on a tour. Aaron's on the Cape. Aaron.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just kind of want to hop on Shaughnessy specifically right now. So it drives me nuts when all these old people, especially the old-timey baseball guys that are like, oh, well, you know, everybody that's young, they don't have the attention span. I'm sitting there watching football games for hours on end and hockey games for hours on end. There's not much of a time difference when it comes to baseball. It's just a boring, terrible product, and it has been horrific in the past 10 to 15 years. Give me some excitement. Put a real pitch clock on. Take less games out. I don't want to watch over 100 games a season. It doesn't make it, you know, that interesting anymore. When you have 16 right. games a season, it's amazing. But now you get all these old guys that they don't want you flipping bats. They don't want you doing this. They don't want you doing that. There's no livelihood on any team. There's no one, you know, player on every single team that you're like, oh, I can't wait to see this guy play. But you could go to basketball, you go to football, and there's always at least one player you're like, that guy's the man.
Okay. Well, that settles it right there then. Are you a fantasy guy?
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh. He's either a better or a fantasy guy. But anyway, that encapsulates a lot of the spirit of America today. That doesn't surprise me one bit. I mean, this is not like stop the presses here. You know, NBA is more popular than baseball with people under 40, under 50, probably across the board at this point. I get that.
But baseball could do things to help themselves.
Well,
they're trying.
They've got some, you know, things about it that are not going to be fixable. And again, I keep going back to the strikeouts. I don't know where you go with that, because that's a problem. More strikeouts than hits. I mean, it just takes too long. It's the old they're fascist. You know, there's no action. No action is the biggest violation in my view.
David's in Florida. Hi, David.
Good morning.
Hey, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For 30
How
seconds.
How are you doing? Zoe Bowie, Dan the Man. How's the day going?
We're good. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, all right. I'm battling traffic down here on 95. 2,000 miles south of you.
Where are you at? Copens Road?
Copas in Pompano.
Oh, you're, you're close by.
I'm in Palm Beach.
Ooh,
Copas, very good. I think that the variable with the Red Sox is going to be their starting pitching. Their offense should be able to push across 4 or 5 runs a game. The bullpen we know is horrible, with the exception of Kimball, who's had a decent year, but still down year for him. But the middle relief is just reprehensible and scary. And so the starting pitching, I think, has to go at least 6 innings. If they can get 6, hopefully 7 innings of 3 or 4 starters games, then they got a good chance of winning.
Sure,
but it's just that's the variable, I think, in the Red Sox season.
All right, then. And they would tell you that, again, some of the bullpen people that you've been seeing, you won't see, and that you're going to see more of a mix of Eovaldi, Rodriguez, Wright, rather than the bum of the month club that we saw repeatedly throughout the season.
There's also an element that we have not discussed about the Red Sox going into the playoffs, the games that mean more than anything they've done all year long, and that's the manager and his role in all of this. Why don't we get to that coming up after these headlines and continue with your calls on baseball and fixing baseball, as we try to do all the time, with Dan Shaughnessy. That's on the way.